Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, stepping up to the mic. Kat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all your premier podcast platforms. The two towns we're going to shout out today, one is San Antonio, Texas, home of the Alamo and the San Antonio Riverwalk. Our other place is McNairy, Arizona. McNairy's census designed for the Apache and Navajo countries, the U.S. state of Arizona. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is always here on the back porch. You know, beer is the perfect temporary solution to any problem. Today, I'm having my first favorite, the Modelo, with a lime. Said it many times. I started drinking Modelo before anybody knew what a Modelo was. Kat, what you got?
Since we're coming out just before Easter, I am having a little Drunk Bunny. Drunk Bunny consists of 3 ounces of strawberry lemonade, 2 ounces of Malibu rum, and a few strawberries. And a little fuzzy bunny might be there at the top.
Golly. Now I know I can make my own drink and name it the fuzzy bunny.
No, the Drunk Bunny.
Same thing. All right. Sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right. We're finally going to do a podcast about something I know about.
He's well-versed.
And that's beer. Fortunately, we got some bad news. Craft beer is finally taking a nosedive. Hard to believe, huh? I mean, you know, people don't want to pay $12 for a six-pack of beer. I mean, come on, people. Get off the wallet. Some of these crooks, they want like $13, $14, $15 for a six-pack. They think a lot of their product, don't they? You know, it's not just craft beer. It's beer altogether that people are starting to take a pass on. And what are the reasons why people are piecing out of the beer market? One reason is beer does what? Makes you fat, and it makes you lazy. Now, this country will never get over lazy. But it seems some people now are trying to get healthier and pouring can after can of disgusting American beer down your throat does not help.
So there are calories.
Beer brewed here in the divided states of America, it's basically water. Actually, it's 95% water, and that's why they suck. Budweiser, disgusting. Bud Light's okay. It's not bad. Anything by Miller is a joke. If you're going to open a can of Miller Lite, you might as well pop the top on a bottle of Aquafina. Pretty much same thing. And that's why my choice of everyday beer has always been Amigo Brews. Modelo, Pacifico, Corona. You know, at least there's a little taste to them. And also, the trend these days, it's leaning to liquor. Alcoholic seltzers, the hard seltzers, White Claw, Vizzy, is that one? High Noon, Flying Embers. They kind of swept the nation a couple years ago. And I think the females discovered it first.
Well, there aren't that many carbs in them.
Like I said, we're trying to not be fat. And we're trying not to drink something that doesn't taste good. So why not an alternative? I'm trying to give examples of why the beer market is taking a hit.
Okay.
And who cares? You know, fuck them. When Corona virus, I hate to say the coronavirus, but that's what I call it. People were working from home. What happened? The liquor stores So their sales go through the roof. Okay, look, I like beer on a hot summer day. But after a while, beer, it does start to get a little boring. You got to switch it up. Here's one you don't hear too much about. And it does have a big audience, and that's wine. A lot of people prefer a nice bottle of red over a bottle of overpriced craft beer. Yeah. So all these other options have kind of been putting a hurting on the beer.
Don't get in front of grandma at the wine warehouse when she's
there's a lot of winos out here. We didn't know it. I didn't know it. I don't have a problem with wine. I don't want it right now. Maybe later.
Oh, believe me. I got to the Costco. There's old dudes in front of me with 8 bottles just stacking them up.
You know, the other problem is there's too many damn craft breweries, right? It's too much competition. Everybody saw this coming. Hell, there's 40 of them right around here where we live. Well, maybe not for long. Let's see. Dogfish Head, Bit It, Anchor Brewing's going down, Flying Fish Brewing Company, Gonzo, Zydeco, Brewworks History, a couple of them in Jersey, Forgotten Boardwalk Brewery, gone, Elementary Brewing Company, and the list just goes on and on. You know, a couple of craft breweries around here have closed the doors. Licking Hole.
Right.
Craft Brewery.
Gooch of Land.
Castleberg Brewery, Isley Brewing Company, they're all gone. Again, to me, it's just gotten to the point where it's a flooded market. The same thing is going to happen to these distilleries. They're popping up on every corner. Now, I don't want it to happen. You know, the more alcohol we have, the happier we're all going to be. But the craft beer thing, it's kind of gotten out of control. You go to the grocery store.
All those flavors that they've added. I think they're trying to compete with seltzers. I really do. The watermelon beer.
Sometimes you got to leave beer alone. Okay. That's one problem. I've said it before. There's one out here called Hardywood. And I'm not going to pick on them, but I'm going to pick on them. They cranked it up before anybody, right? They saw this thing coming before anybody. So give them props. But their beer, it sucks. I don't care. They have a thing called Richmond Lager, which I've never drank horse piss. But that is the nastiest beer. And it's still out there.
I drank one at the end of a 12K somebody handed me as I finished the thing just evaporated in my mouth.
I don't know. The Hardywood's also, a lot of these craft beers, I've said it before on other podcasts, they taste like iced coffee or toffee or caramel. So, man, after a while, sweet is too sweet. But, you know, you go in the grocery store or the beer and wine warehouse, and there it is. You got Flying Fish this and Dog Head that and Elephant Trunk or whatever. There's so many IPAs out there. It's fucking insane. I don't know who names these beers. Do you know where they come up with these gooseneck this? And I mean, the names are insane, but who cares? You know, when your product is sitting there on a shelf and there's what, 130 other ones sitting there just like it,
right?
With the little flashy orange fluorescent green can with some crazy ass name. Not everybody's going to survive. Now, a problem I've noticed, when the craft breweries started popping up everywhere, was I couldn't find their product in the store. You know, it's hard to sustain a business when your product's not even out there on display.
But there's those maniacs, like the one at Vail, that stand, well, they were standing outside with their little jugs waiting for the newest brew to come out.
Well, that's what these craft breweries are just set up for you to consume their product there at the facility.
Right.
And that's cool. You know, some of the ones around here, they have little events. They have food trucks. They have bands. It's cool. Dog friendly. Hang out. Pop a few brews. It's cool, but I don't see how day-to-day walk-up business is enough to keep these places going. You go in a craft brewery, walk up, you and your boy walk up there, get 2 pints. It's going to be around $16. Throw in $4 tip, give them a 20. You got your 2 brews, sitting down, everything's cool. You do that 2 more times, you and your friend are down 60 bones, okay? Think about that. Not everybody has that, right? $60 to sit there and drink 3 freaking pints of beer apiece. That's pretty expensive, and I'm not blaming the breweries.
What's the cost of a regular beer at like a regular bar? What, $5?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, again, I'm not blaming the breweries. The price of everything keeps going up and up. The cost of doing business is really cutting into the profit margin of these craft breweries. You know, timing is probably the most important thing when it comes to starting a new business. And time is running out on a lot of these craft breweries. It's really an oversaturated market right now. A lot of people don't have $12 to $14 to spend on a freaking 6-pack of beer. There's so many other options. And, you know, that now has kind of put beer at the end of the line. If you have a craft brewery in your area, give them a try. You might find something you like. You know, just have a beer, hang out. They kind of need your support right now. They really do. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Awesome Lady.
Awesome. I see an awesome.
Woo! Michelle Kwan. To some of you young bucks, you're like, who's Michelle Kwan? Back in the day, we know her. 43 years old from Torrance, California.
Right.
One of the most decorated figure skaters ever from the United States. Michelle was also easy on the eyes, by the way. Known for delivering pretty clean programs combined with grace, artistry, all the things Tonya Harding wasn't. She could roll with the music. She kind of flowed and knocked out the triples.
Right. She wasn't as athletic. She was much more graceful. She wasn't, let's hit the quads. Need to do a quad. No.
Well, they weren't doing those back then.
They weren't doing those.
But she could hit the trips.
There was one thing she did, program called Fields of Gold, and she was dressed in gold, and I think it was a Sting song.
Oh, it's a great song.
Oh, she would do that program over, and it was so beautiful, and she did it so well.
People were crying.
Like a lot of families, like we used to be ice people. Our son played hockey.
And ice people.
Ice skating people.
Ice people.
Our son played hockey for a little while, and our daughter did figure skating, and and that's the way Michelle's family was. She and her sister were ice skating, and the brother was playing hockey.
It
was a big thing.
The 90s, ice skating was kind of popping.
Right.
And we had a double rink out here around town. They still got one rink up there. But it was a big thing. Michelle Kwan never got the gold. She got the silver in 98, the bronze in 2002.
Right.
But check this out. She was 9-time U.S. champion. Okay, so she ruled back in the day. 5-time world champion. Right. Eat that. Pretty much from 1997 to 2005, Michelle Kwan was making bank, appearance fees, prize money. Most importantly, endorsements.
Wheaties.
Disney, Starbucks, McDonald's, Minute Maid, Chevrolet, Campbell's Soup, Visa. She crushed it.
Pretty woman.
That didn't hurt. But like Kat said, what the hell happened to figure skating? I mean, I don't get it. And when we were growing up during the winter months, ice skating was on television. It was big time. We had this big blowhard named Dick Buttons. He would sit there and criticize every little mistake the skaters made. I don't understand why figure skating peaced out. I mean, I actually got into it. It was big time.
Right.
And it was on NBC. on Sundays. My parents watched it. My grandparents watched it.
It still is. You just got to figure out when the championship is and if it's on NBC.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. A lot of things have pieced out. They were cool back in the day. Michelle Kwan was appointed by President George Bush to the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. She has been a longtime supporter of the Special Olympics, and President Joe Biden placed Michelle as a U.S. ambassador to Belize.
Right.
And that makes Michelle Kwan one tough, awesome lady. All right, are we still watching things?
We're still watching, and I just started watching this, and it's pretty good. It's on Apple TV. It's called A New Look. It's looking at what happened to fashion designers back during World War II. Specifically, the designers they're looking at are Christian Dior, Coco Chanel.
What happened to them?
Well, I mean, you're in a fashion business. They're living in Paris. The Nazis are ruling the whole place. So what happens to your business then?
Not a lot of sympathy for this one. Go ahead.
Why not sympathy? If you're an artist and you're trying to live your life and make beautiful fashions.
All right, go on.
Anyway, it's pretty interesting because Christian Dior's sister, Catherine Dior, was with the French Resistance. And was trying
resistance.
And the Coco Chanel, there's a whole scene where the Nazis have called her up. Hey, come have dinner with us. Of course, she's dragged there. And they're sitting there. So, you know, that's so great. You know, what can we do to make Berlin the new head of fashion in the world? And Coco just laughs in their face like, that's not going to happen.
And then they locked her up.
Anyway, it's interesting to see the challenges that these fashion to try and get through World War II. The Nazis weren't exactly
nice. The Germans had some snazzy uniforms. Did Coco design those?
No, unfortunately, she did not. Anyway, so far it's a come see, come saw. It's 50-50 for the reviewers. I'm enjoying it because it's somewhat informative. Anyway. It's on Apple TV.
All right. I need a shot after that.
Okay.
What are we doing?
This week's shot is called one of your favorite candy bars, Liquid Butterfinger.
I am a Butterfinger guy. And don't get that twisted. All right. What's in this thing?
This thing has half an ounce of Bailey's, half an ounce of Butterscotch Schnapps. Vanilla, vodka, and Kahlua.
Next week, we're going to do a shot that tastes like pure grain alcohol. I'm sick of this fucking candy shit. All right. It looks like chocolate milk like the other one. Pretty fucking good.
It is good. I've got a
I'm not biting finger. That. That's pretty good, though. I'll give you that.
Wow.
Ouch. It does taste like a Butterfinger. That's weird.
Yeah, I just ate bit one. Yeah, it does taste like a Butterfinger.
All right. Thank you, Kat. All right. We don't know how we skipped it or missed it, but this is one of Kat's favorite artists ever.
Yes,
Band of the Week. What are we, like 3 years into this podcast, and we just got to
season four, and
Bowie.
We're finally getting here.
David Bowie, born in 1947 from Brixton, England. Make that London. Pretty much David Bowie ruled the 70s, right?
Right.
I remember as a kid, in the 70s, me and Kat were kids.
We were children.
And
the
70s, some of the 70s shit was kind of strange with the get-ups and the makeup. I was actually scared of David Bowie. I'll admit it. The whole space oddity thing seemed a little weird to me. It was all over the radio in the 80s. David Bowie was on MTV, kind of switched to fashion, right? Started looking sharp. Ladies loved him.
His real name was Davy Jones. But, of course, in the Monkees, there was a Davy Jones.
Right.
So, and he became David Bowie in 1966. Chose Bowie because of the Bowie knife and coupled that with his philosophy of cutting.
The Bowie knife. Where did that go? Saw a commercial?
No, that's what he named himself after was the knife.
I know, but where? Okay.
Cutting in his own philosophy of cutting through truth.
Oh, Sorry, interrupted.
Stepped on my line, didn't you?
So many kick-ass songs. The first for me was Golden Years.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Years. Bup, bup, bup. Weird. I had all those 45s back in the day. We had Heroes. Heroes is probably one of the greatest songs ever. I mean, it just flows and goes. You can't deny it. Let's Dance, Young Americans, we were bumpered in today. Everything on Ziggy.
One of my formative moments was Bowie was on Bing Crosby's TV special, Merry Old Christmas, in 1977. I'm sitting in the den, as we would call it, with my mother.
And he pops up on the screen, watching the old people show with the folks, Mom, and it's Bowie.
Mom was always Perry Como, you know.
Andy Williams,
yeah. All those. She always loved that stuff, and I'm just losing it. Like,
it's a classic. It's a classic. There's no doubt. Bing was the man, too.
And the thing that made Bowie unique was he was a chameleon. If you are an artist and a good artist, you change.
Think of how many people copy that stance. Madonna copied that. Right. There's so many artists that were like.
Yeah, but he was the original.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Started out this, and now I'm not the Thin White Duke.
That's how smart he was.
Ziggy Stardust. I'm not this. I'm not that.
And also Bowie. That's how badass David Bowie was. He just goes by one name.
Right.
That's Bowie. Bowie passed away in 2016. And he did a final album called Black Star that he recorded while he was dying from
liver cancer. And when I did the Monument Avenue 10K in 2016, I usually try and raise money for cancer research through VCU. I had Bowie's name
on
my back.
That's awesome.
One was a black star from Black Star. The other one was a little Ziggy Stardust thing.
That's my girl right there.
Anyway, 69 years old. Now that we're sitting here at almost 60, that doesn't seem that long a life now, does it?
Really? Again, the album Black Star, he recorded while he was dying from liver cancer. Listen to the lyrics to these songs. Very bone chilling. In England, David Bowie's on stamps. There's a statue. He sold over 140 million records and still going. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame.
He was a decent actor also.
Yeah. Rolling Stone put him at number 39 on the list of greatest artists of all times. Probably top five in this house. Young punks, check out David Bowie wherever you get your music. Thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch.
We're gonna go.
And we will see y'all down the road.
See ya. Nothing. This is a step and cuts his hand. Showing nothing, it swoops like a song, she cries. Where are all Papa's heroes gone?
All night.
She wants a young man.